In January 1998, the Project for the New American Century, an advocacy group for an interventionist Republican foreign policy, issued a letter urging President Clinton to take regime change in Iraq seriously. Among the 18 signers of the letter were Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Armitage, future UN Ambassador John Bolton, and several others who would move back into government 3 years later. The policy of containment of Saddam Hussein has been steadily eroding over the past several months, they wrote. Diplomacy is clearly failing, and removing Saddam Hussein and his regime from power needs to become the aim of American foreign policy. The alternative, they concluded, would be a course of weakness and drift. Containment was a very costly strategy, Wolfowitz said years later. It cost us billions of dollars. Estimates are around $30 billion. It cost us American lives. We lost American lives in Khobar Towers, a huge 1996 bombing in Saudi Arabia that killed 19 service members and wounded 372 others. But he also saw other costs. In some ways, the real price is much higher than that. The real price was giving Osama bin Laden his principal talking point. If you go back and read his notorious fatwa from 1998, where he called for the first time for killing Americans, his big complaint is that we have American troops on the holy soil of Saudi Arabia and that we're bombing Iraq. That was his big recruiting device, his big claim against us. Wolfowitz also saw another cost, one that most Americans hadn't noticed much. Finally, containment did nothing for the Iraqi people. Large parts of the Iraqi population suffered hugely under a contained Saddam. And the marsh Arabs of southern Iraq were on the route to being wiped out, he noted. That's what containment did for them. For those people, liberation came barely in time. Zinni, too, was growing uncomfortable with the price containment was inflicting on the Iraqi people. But from his perspective, the solution was to refine what was being done, not topple Saddam. He thought that international sanctions could be narrowed to focus more on keeping weapons components and other militarily useful items out of Iraq, while dropping economic sanctions that imposed unnecessary suffering on Iraqis. This was a theme that his old friend Colin Powell would take up a few years later, in 2001, when he became Secretary of State under President George W. Bush. But Zinni recalled that he didn't get much of a response in his attempts to interest Clinton administration officials in refining the containment strategy. As he made the rounds of Middle Eastern capitals, Zinni found himself crossing paths with Dick Cheney, then an ex-defense secretary who was CEO of Halliburton, the oil services and logistics company that did much business in that part of the world. "I'd be traveling around out there and I'd run into him all the time," he said. At Halliburton, he was always going into the tent to see the emir or the king. The two men weren't close, but Zinni felt he had a good enough sense of Cheney to know that he was a realist in terms of what happens on the ground, how to get things done. Very much someone who wanted to work through the United Nations and through building coalitions. Masterful at it. The climax of Zinni's time as commander in the Mideast was the four-day-long Desert Fox bombing campaign. There had been military moments in 1994 and 1996, but the 1998 raids would be the biggest U.S. military strikes in Iraq since the end of the 1991 war. This turned out to be the most intense enforcement of the containment policy that occurred in the entire 12-year period between the 1991 war and the 2003 invasion.